In the name of Lord Jesus Christ, this lesson, we are going to focus on preparing to enter the promised land. We know that in order to succeed, preparation is the key. Whatever you do, even in this life, whether you're going to cook a meal, you're going to go for a competition, you are writing an exam, you are finding a job, even going for an interview, anything in your life, if you want to do, is to succeed, then you must understand, preparation is the key. Even we say we trust everything in God's hand, we let God to guide, but doesn't excuse us that we ignore preparation. Now we're living in a very fast-paced society. Everything is instant. And your generation now is less patient and less prepared than our previous generation. We want instant succeed. We want to enjoy things. But actually, we failed to really get our feet stay on the ground and have a round and complete preparation before we do something important. If we act on impulse or act on feeling, you're never going to succeed, even holy work or your own life. So don't be driven by your emotion. Sometimes you really want something, but are you ready? Are you ready for the challenge? Or are you ready for the responsibility, right? For example, forming a family. Of course, you develop feeling for someone, right? That's normal. But are you prepared to enter commitment, long-term marriage? This is the key. Right? So everything we do have to have preparation. Now, the people of Israelites, you can say that under the leadership of Moses, and then now on Joshua, they have been preparing to enter the land for how long? How long have they been wandering in the wilderness? 40 years. So they have been preparing for 40 years. But actually, the last few days of preparation is even more important than the past 40 years. Of course, the past 40 years, they were born in the wilderness and the old generation passed away and died. But the last 3 days is the most important. So we're going to tonight take a look, how did God help them to prepare? Let's turn to the book, Joshua, chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 1, starting from brother. David, can you please read? Joshua, chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Okay. God told Joshua, gather the people and get ready. Gather the people and get ready. In other translation, rise up. Get ready for action. So the book of Joshua actually is the book of action. Fighting, conquering, dividing the land. So a lot of action. But before you can have action, you must have very detailed and ample preparation. And the most important preparation, actually, sometimes, is not to prepare things, but to prepare your mindset, to prepare your attitude, to prepare your emotional, mental capacity, and spiritually prepare. Anything you do, you want to succeed. Physically, you have to prepare. Financially, you have to prepare. Academically, you have to study hard. But if you want to succeed and get blessing in your life, you must be spiritually prepared. Because our life is an endeavor which we are going to get what God already prepared for us. Remember, position yourself in Joshua. You are just like in the army. God has already promised you something. But whether you can get it is up to you. Of course, very, very far away, eternally far away, is heaven. But it's not only heaven. Heaven, not only in the future. Heaven is also on earth. Heaven is the peace, the blessing, the happiness in our life, in our hearts, in our family. But are you ready to, are you able to get it? Then depends on how much you prepare yourself. For example, marriage. Yeah, you want to get married, you love someone, you have feeling for someone. But if you're not prepared mentally, and you enter marriage, you put yourself into trouble. If you don't know the idea of marriage, and then you get married. Of course, problem, right? If you don't know what is commitment, long-term relationship, you get into that, you get into trouble. You want to serve God, you want to work for the church. Yeah, you have zeal. But mentally, you don't prepare. Spiritually, you don't prepare. The moment you started to serve God, the moment you started to get hurt or hurting others. So, preparation is the key. So get ready, rise up. So brother and sister, remember, position yourself. God is also talking to this generation. You are this generation. You are just like Joshua at that time. God is telling you, brother and sister, get ready. You have a lot of future. God has a lot of promise for you. But are you ready? If not ready, you started to get ready today. And how to get ready? How did God help them to prepare? First, God personally encouraged Joshua. As I said, the most important things to prepare actually is not things, but the heart, the spirit, the attitude, the mindset. If you are internally prepared, then no matter what you face, you will be able to overcome it. But if your heart is not prepared, then you will face a lot of troubles. So that's why God wants to get Joshua prepared. Because if Joshua is not prepared, the people will not be prepared. Because Joshua is the leader. The leader is the key person. So that's why God wants to help him to prepare. And how did God help him? First of all, God encouraged him. Let's read the same book, verse 3 to 5. Next person, please. Also verse 6. Also verse 6, please. Okay, these few words, very briefly, but it's very important. Because in these few words, God personally encouraged Joshua. You can imagine if you were Joshua, what will you be feeling at that time? The one you count on, look up to all your life, and you rely on him, you're asking for advice, or you are the one just taking instruction. But now that person, Moses, is gone. There's no more someone you can count on. And you're leading these millions of people. And he knew what was the task. These people are not easy to lead. They have always complained. They always have problems. And now they're going to get the land. But how are they going to do it? There's a lot of problems, a lot of obstacles. Like as I said in the morning, natural hindrances, geographical, internal problem, and then outside the cities and the military might of the Canaanites. How are you going to do it? Can you imagine if you are selected to lead this whole group? Let's say we only have 120 people here. If you have to take care of everybody and by walking, we're going to gather everybody walking to Vancouver, Canada. Not on plan, but you have to lead this group. You have to take care of their eating, their well-being. If they are fighting, you have to resolve. If they complain, you have to deal with them. And on the way, there may be robbers, there may be terrorists, and then you have to climb the hills, cross the rivers before you can reach Vancouver. And you've never been there. How are you going to feel? Just imagine yourself, you just lead 100 people. And don't even involve fighting. But if it has to be involved in a fighting, in a battlefield, let's say if the country sends you to Afghanistan right now, fighting the Taliban, right, real fighting, you may lose your life, but you have to lead so many people. How will you ever feel? It is very frightening just to imagine yourself in that position. So that's why God has to encourage him. God is the best person to encourage people because God knows exactly how to encourage people. First of all, what is encouragement? If you look at the word encouragement in English, it means to make the person have courage, and mean to make it happen. And courage means the person, at first, he was a little bit frightened, don't know what to do, low in morale, but after we do something to him or her, he became courageous. The courage hidden inside came out. We all have courage, but sometimes the courage is hidden in the lowest layer in the mental capacity. It was laid up by other factors like worries, concern, and then doubt, and then a lot of other things, which the courage was actually the lowest. You even forgot you have courage. You forgot you can do it. You only tell yourself, I cannot do it. You know, there's no way I can do it. I'll fail. You know, some people are more negative by nature, maybe because of your family background. But think about how you were brought up, right? If you were brought up by your parents like a typical Asian family and the way of upbringing, usually Asian families like this, right? If you do something right, they will not say anything because this is your duty. For example, you get a test result, oh, 95%. Your parent look at you and say, where did you lose the 5%? Right? Why can't you get 100 if you can do it, right? Or they will say, look at your sister. She got 100 and 95. What is this? They give you a really bad look, right? After a while, whatever you do, they remind you, oh, you know, you should have done better. Why don't you do this, right? Oh, after a while, if you're brought up like this, being criticized a lot, they even say, wow, why are you so silly? Where's your brain? Are you stupid, right? If you hear speeches like this when you grow up by your parents, I'm sure now you feel very inferior. You feel very inferior. You think, oh, yeah, I'm pretty dumb, actually. And I know my sister or my brother is better, or my younger brother is, you know, so good. I'm not good, you know. Compared to him, I'm nothing. So if you are being brought up by this criticism, you feel very inferior, or you feel that you're nobody and you cannot achieve anything in life. But if your parent is not typical Asian parent, not only looking at academic or not comparing you to your sibling, but they will say, you know, you try your best, it's okay, but I know you have other talent, right? I know you can do better. If you push a little bit harder, I'm sure you see the difference, and you do it for yourself, right? And God will help you, right? I know. I trust that you have potential. Whatever it is, I don't know, but I know you have potential. Then you say, really, yeah, I have potential, I don't know. Maybe I have potential, right? Then, wow, you really feel difference because the courage came out and you work harder, right? But unfortunately, in our real life, especially Asian culture, our parents, because they were also brought up by their parents and they attacked their confidence and they were denied and then so they pass down sometimes the negative. They think that you can do better if they stimulate you, if they criticize you. So God could have said, right, you know, Joshua, look at you, why you're frightened? You know, come on, be a man, right? And don't you look at Moses? He can do it, right? God didn't use negative things to try to achieve his goal. If you look at how God encouraged bring out Joshua, and you can learn how can you, of course, we want to be encouraged by God. And at the same time, if you see your brother and sister need encouragement, then you can do it for God. Because nowadays, unfortunately, that we will not hear directly from God that often, like Joshua, but we have the Holy Spirit, we have the truth, and we have brother and sister. So if everybody knew how to encourage people, things will be easier. Whether it's in your own family, or in your church, or in your work environment. You know, even little baby, little toddler, they need encouragement. If they did something, wow, really nice. You tell them, wow, you can do it, come on. Wow, you're so smart, you're so good. And then, wow, they will work harder. They'll run faster. They'll tidy up things. So, you know, human God really make the design, the mind is we can only be truly motivated if we are encouraged, but not criticized. So let's see how God encouraged Joshua. But first of all, why we all need encouragement? Because we will be weak sometimes in our life. No matter how strong you are right now, maybe you're thinking that, you know, I'm so strong. I'm in NYTS. You know, this is my, how many years? I don't know you. Some people keep coming, even they graduate. Because you feel good when you're here, right? Wow, you pray so hard. You go to MVP, PMVP, whatever P. Oh, going to seminar, you know, you feel yourself, you're so strong. Yeah, maybe now you're very strong because you haven't encountered any trials yet. But things will change and things can change overnight. Let's say, if you're facing a new environment, you have to move to some place. You have no friends, no family. There's no church nearby. You have to keep your faith. How can that be? You lose your job. Your confidence level was destroyed. You're laid off. Or maybe you have new challenges. You just first got married, but marriage is not working well. Or maybe a doctor just diagnosed you with some sickness. Illness. Anything can happen. You know, brother and sister, don't think you are that strong. Even though you go to church every Sabbath, you help this and that, you attend all the seminar, but don't think that you are strong. Because we are human. We are just human beings. We are flesh and blood. We have emotions. And we have limitations. So we all be weak sometimes. So when we are weak, exactly is the moment that God wants to help us, or God wants to send someone to help us. So how did God encourage Joshua? If you look at the few verses that we have just read, I just make 3 points for your reference. First, God remind him of his promise to his forefathers. In verse 3, God told Joshua, the land you are stepping on, according to what I promised Moses, I have given it to you. And this promise was not only first given to Moses, but actually was given to Abraham at the very beginning. If you look at what God promised Abraham, if you look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, is the time and the place that God promised Abraham. To your offspring, I'll give this land and even make the boundary. Genesis 15, 18. The boundary is, if you look at the map, the southern boundary shall be river, the great river of Egypt. And all the way, if you look at Genesis 15, 18, to the river of Euphrates. You know, if you look at geography, Euphrates is in Mesopotamia, in today's Iraq. So according to God's promise, the so-called promised land is not only the land of Canaan. Usually we confuse land of Canaan and the promised land. We thought that they are the same. But actually, they are not the same. Land of Canaan is only this area where the Canaanites were living. It's today modern Israel, plus the land of the Palestinian where they stay. But the promised land is bigger than what today Israel is. Is the boundary is this river, the great river of Egypt, and Euphrates. And anywhere in between is God's promise. And of course, the eastern is desert. There's nothing there. There's no fruit, no trees. But of course, they have oil. But of course, in the ancient time, oil, you cannot extract it, right? So this part, nobody really lived. So, but these are the great promise. It's a very huge land. God promised Joshua about this. And now, you are going to from where you're stepping on. At that time, they are like in the east of Jordan River. They are somewhere here, because this is the Jordan River. And they are somewhere in the east, they are going to cross it. But they have to cross the river first before they can start their campaign. But God remind them, before you make even first step, remember God's promise. Brother and sister, be encouraged. If you are in the low point in your life, yes, people can tell you a lot of things. Oh, you fail. You can't do this, right? The doctor say there's no hope, you know, you'll be in trouble. Or people say you cannot find a job. You know, your life will be a loser. People can say this and that. People will tell you are a loser. Because of maybe your family background, maybe your body image, maybe your academic success, you're not compared to other people. People will tell you are a loser. But don't believe them. You must believe in God. For example, look at Joshua and the people. If the Canaanites were hearing that, you know, this branch of Israelites, they say they want to come and to get rid of us and to claim the land promised by their gods, who would believe them? Right? Who would believe them? Because they have been wandering around in 40 years. If they can do it, they have done it long ago, right? They could have said this. But if you grab hold of God's promise, no matter how hard it is, whether it is geographical hindrances, whether it is a big fortress, thick wall, whether it is the Canaanites are all like two or head taller than you, doesn't matter. Grab God's promise. You must remember God has promised you. If you follow His will, if you follow His instruction, if you have faith in Him, your life will be blessed. How God going to bless you, you don't know. But you will be blessed. But that is the main thing. So courage, write it down, brother and sister. Courage comes from faith. So how do you encourage other people? Or how to encourage yourself? Be reminded of faith in God. The moment you lose faith, the moment you cannot go on, you tell yourself, I'm a loser, I'm not good as other people. I will not have a good life. I will not be successful in whatever I do. No, cast them out in the name of Jesus. Don't just cast away that black shadow, right? Sometimes, you know, we hear too many testimonies. Oh, you see a black shadow or devil appearing, you cast them out in the name of Jesus, right? And they're gone. And devil now, they're quite smart. They don't scare you with black shadows or black image. Why? Because you cast him out in no time. But devil will kind of put doubt in your mind. So like, yeah, you're a loser. You know, you're not as good as other people. No matter how hard you try, you'll fail. You're hopeless. No, cast them out in the name of Jesus. Grab God's promise. God wants you to have a good life, successful life, spiritually successful. And God wants you to go to heaven in the future. And you will make it to heaven. And on the journey, you will enjoy God's blessing. And there's never too late to start anything. Even though they have wasted 40 years, brother and sister. Can you imagine? If you have already 40 years old. I'm more than 40 years old. I still envy you, 18, 19, 20, 20-something, right? When I attended NYTS, I was 18 years old. Now I'm more than 40. I won't tell you the exact age. It's my secret. Right? But usually for a person, if he wasted 40 years in his life is fixed. He can't do anything. Right? But Don't lose hope, even if you are 40 years old. If you want to start today, if you want to make life change today, if you want to come back to God today, if you want to start reading Bible today, if you want to start serving God today, if you go to live a holy life today, even if you are 40 years old, it's not too late to start. They have wasted 40 years. But every morning is a new beginning. So, yes, you may have wasted that last 18 years. How many of you think that you have wasted the last 18 years in your whole life before? Be honest, right? Yeah. Doesn't matter. What is past is past. So grab hold of God's promise. Every time you grab God's promise, you have courage. Let's turn to 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John 5, 4. Next person, please. 1 John 5, 4. For whoever born of God overcome the world. And how can you overcome the world? Your faith. Where is the promised land? Sometimes we always hear too many times that, oh, promised land is in the future, I go to heaven. Of course, God promised you go to heaven in the future. That's fine. This is true. But promised land also represents the peace, the blessing, the spiritual bountifulness of this life in your heart. But you can only enjoy peace and prosperity spiritually if you have victory, if you can overcome all these obstacles. For example, your laziness is your obstacle. If you're too lazy to do anything else, your life will be ruined. For example, lust, sin, pride, right? Procrastination, jealousy. If everything inside you cannot overcome, the world is those negative character or even self-doubt. But every time you grab hold of God's promise, you get courage. So brother and sister, tonight the assignment, add one more. If you are to encourage yourself, what will you say to yourself? This is a very good assignment. I just think of this right now. Say something to encourage yourself. Seriously. Right? Talk to yourself. Write it down. Maybe a 2-point, 3-point, or one page. Right? Write it down. Even write today. 2018, July 30th. In California, NYTS. After so much prayer, after hearing the word of God for 1 week, I want to tell myself, I want to encourage myself. If nobody encourages you, right? It's okay, it doesn't matter. Sometimes nobody encourages you. Right? Some people don't know what you're going through. But you must know how to encourage yourself because you know yourself better. God knows yourself best. But God will, through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, and teach you to encourage yourself. Or you can encourage your tomorrow self. Or next year self. I'm going to encourage myself from 2018 to 2019. I want to tell myself this. Yeah, talk to yourself. Very important. How many of you do talk to yourself a lot? Openly? No. If you talk to yourself openly, people think, you know, in the past, you know, when people walking on the ground, walking around and talk, I thought, what people talking to themselves? Actually, they're wearing a Bluetooth. When Bluetooth first came out, I thought, wow, so many people talk to themselves. Actually, they're not talking to themselves. They're talking to somebody else. But sometimes it is important to talk to yourself and write it down. Of course, don't do it all the time. People think that you have problems, right? But write it down. Oh, I want to encourage myself, you know. Be of good courage, you know. Don't worry. Do this. The second way God encouraged Joshua is assurance through His Word. God told Joshua personally, His Word, to assure him that I'll be with you. You will have success. You will not fail because God used His Word, talked to him, And can you imagine if God talks to you personally? How lucky you are, right? You'll be strengthened. Now, you may think that, oh, today I'm not Joshua. I'm not as lucky as he is, right? God talked to him all the time personally. But God today talked to you and assured you through the Bible. So if you want encouragement, the best way is you let God speak to you through his word every day. Don't rely on, a certain speaker. You know, some people, they are just like picky eating their food. Oh, I like certain speaker. No, that person can speak. I like to listen to the sermon. Oh, that speaker, Timothy speaking, falling asleep. No, don't rely on people. Don't rely on spoon feeding. Yeah, if you hear an encouraging sermon, thank God, praise God for that. It's not because of him, because of God. And even when a person is not that eloquent, but thank God too, because you find your food. You don't need to be spoon fed. You read the Bible every day, but sometimes we come to NYTS, like 2 weeks' time, you eat buffet every single day. You cram, you stuff, you overeat, and then you go for starving for 350 days. Is that happening true, right? And then next, you're waiting for, next year I must go to NYTS to spiritually recharge. Well, I'm not sure whether this works. If you drain your battery like this and then charge it for 2 weeks nonstop, I don't know what happened to your battery, right? You need constant charging. You need constant eating. Not overeat and not over hunger. Let God's word be your encouragement. Wow, every time I read God's word, I think about God's word. You know, God encouraged me. For example, being a pastor. So, for example, who come to encourage you? Of course, I know. I hope that you can come to encourage me sometime, right? Yeah. But sometimes it's difficult to get people to encourage you. So you got to be encouraged by God's word every day. So start your Bible reading plan and don't overeat now and then starve for 350 days. I just come back from Argentina. You know, I spent three weeks there. Every day they give me beef. So, wow, steak. New York steak, rum steak, rib eye, whatever. I overate a little bit. But I cannot rely on that, right? Even coming back, I have to eat my regular meal. I like feasting. I like the food. But I also enjoy my regular routine, even though I don't have feast every day. How do I encourage? How did God encourage him? Also, show him the direction. God is very clear. Show him, you know. You have just to be strong. You will go forward from there, and you will claim the land. No matter where you go, you will be successful. So that is the direction. The direction is spiritual direction. Let's read verse 7. 7 to 8. Next person, please. Chapter 1, verse 7 to 8. Okay, so if you look at this, point 2 and point 3 actually is related. When God talked to him, God gave him the direction. Well, you may think that the direction is cross the Jordan, go west, like you can see in this, right? And maybe we were thinking God should tell him about how to do a military campaign and claim all the cities. But no, God didn't even tell him one word at the time about how to fight a battle. What did God tell him? How to be an obedient child. How to be simple-minded. How to fill your brain, your mind with my words. And how to obey me. So God showed him the direction. The direction is one side is doing things, but the most important direction is spiritual direction. If you obey God's word, no matter where you go, doesn't matter you start east or south or west or north, doesn't matter. Wherever you go, the direction is spiritual direction, you'll be successful. Sometimes we worry so much about, oh, what major should I take? You know, what school should I go? And then later, oh, what job should I take? And then, oh, who should I marry? You know, how can I be sure I pick the right person, right? Mr. Right, Mrs. Right. It's not about you. Sometimes you get it wrong, brothers and sisters. It's not about you to make the right decision. It's about God. If God is guiding you so strongly, you just see it and you follow Him, and then the road is there. Doesn't matter what major do you take, to be honest. So many people took the major or graduate from college. After they graduate, they don't use anything they learn, isn't it? If you don't believe, you ask the counselor. Right? Unless you are really working at the profession. For example, even you study engineering, right? But when you work, there are so many things that you learn on a job. You don't. By the time you graduate, whatever you learn is obsolete already sometimes. You learn the basics. Or sometimes you study engineering, you go to computer. Or you go to computer, you don't do computer jobs. You drive a truck. Well, it happens. I know brothers like this, all right? Things happen. They have to change. Change profession, change job, change cities. But it doesn't matter what you do. If you are in the right direction, you follow God's word, God will guide you and give you success. And you feel that God's blessing, no matter what you do. Just like Joseph in his life. It's not about what he does, but whatever he does, God is with him. He was a shepherd boy, that's a good one. And then he was sold to Egypt, he was a slave. He was a, steward in the house, he was a good one. He was put to the jail, he worked for the guard, he was a good one. And then he was a prime minister, he was a good one. From a shepherd boy to prime minister, doesn't matter what you do. But good one means you are godly one. Write it down. Good one doesn't mean, oh, you earn so much money, you become prime minister. No, good one means you are godly one. In God's eye, you are in the right direction. So God, how did God encourage people? It doesn't matter what you choose. It's not about you. It's about God, where God leads you. So if you think about this, then you don't worry about your future, right? For example, marriage. Some of you think, oh, you know, I have to pick, you know, I have standard this and this and this. Or sister, you also have your own standard. Oh. Right? Look at the brother. Sometimes he says, ah. Right? And the brother says, oh, everybody picked the same person. But actually, we find out that she's not available already 10 years ago. Right? Because everybody is picking on, going after, or thinking about the same one or two person. Because you're using your eyes, using your criteria, and you end up disappointing yourself. So it's not about what you choose. If you really trust God and follow the spiritual direction, trust in Him and follow Him, it's not you choose. God chooses it for you. You just say yes, right? You just say yes when God prepares. You just trust His guidance. So just like Joshua, it's not his leading. If Joshua thought that I have to lead these people, then I'm sure he'll be sleepless every night. But if he knows that it's not about me, it's God. You are thinking about a future, I'm sure. Your job, your graduation, job, and then marriage, and then maybe in your future, whatever. But if you know that it is God, it's not me, then why you need to worry? You have courage. You don't even worry about failing to try something, right? If I try, I fail, go prepare another way, right? I do this, doesn't work out, I'll try another things. Well, God prepare a way for me. Of course, you cannot switch. Then I'll make it work, right? If at the beginning of difficulties, no problem, I will endure, go make it work, right? We cannot turn back. Cannot go back to Egypt, right? You marry, you cannot go back to Egypt. You cannot change the person, but God will help us to make it work. So, why worrying? Courage comes from faith through the promise of God. Courage comes from you know God's words, and then you know God's direction in your life. So, brother and sister, for the next 7 or 6 days, today's not counting because it's gone in a few hours, pray for your future, your direction in your life. What does God want you to do in your life? It's not what your dream, it's not what your ambition, but God, what does God want you to do for Him? And then you have courage. I analyzed this passage and I make 4 P's when I read the first 9 verses in this chapter. First of all, God tell him to, what must Joshua do to get strength and overcome enemies? Of course, I talk about that, faith, listen, read his word. Now, the first P is ponder. Verse 8. Next person, please. Chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8, please. Okay, the first P is meditate day and night. Or, in other words, you ponder, you meditate, you deep thinking about God's word day and night. You not only read it. Reading is the first step. Or listening is the first step. But if you don't think about it, if you don't digest it, no matter how much you listen, it's not good enough. So if you want, you live a life of victory, to get strength to overcome your challenges. From today, start to ponder. Start to really think, what does it really mean? Why did God say this? Right? What does it do with me? And then after you ponder, you have to practice it. Just like God told Joshua, you have to do it. And then after you practice it, you proclaim it. The third P is you proclaim it. You tell the people to do it. You follow you because you follow God. Everybody must follow. And then you are making the 4 P, progress. Progress. You see progress in your faith, in your life. And the end result is God is with him wherever he goes. Now when you feel that God is with you, there's no point of worrying. No matter where you are. The only thing we should worry is God is not with us. Really. But today, our mind has been occupied by so many worldly things. We seldom ponder about God's word, like deeply. We are passively receiving, but you have not processed it. Or sometimes, when you open your cell phone, if you're checking messages, we spend hours on social medias, right? Checking other people's message, but we haven't checked God's message. Every day God has a message for you, but you have not checked it. So, after the mental and spiritual preparation, God told Joshua to prepare food. Verse 10, next person. 11. A true leader will tell the people ahead of time and get themselves ready, not only mentally, but physically. Because the next 3 days, in the coming 3 days, the third day, within 3 days, we will cross the river of Jordan. And after that, you may not have time to cook because there will be a very hectic time period. So you have to prepare ahead of time. For example, NYTS, for these 2 weeks to run very smoothly, I'm sure the local church has prepared a lot of food for you. You enjoy the dinner and lunch. And physically, if you want to work for God, you also have to prepare your body, good health, and of course, many other things you have to, even physically, you cannot neglect. For example, so many of you are so young, right? But some of you, nowadays, some young people, when they are very young, but their health is not good already. Some of you feel that your body is not that good, actually. Oh, I have a problem, this and that, you know. Because nowadays, we use too much computers. So many young people have neck problems nowadays. Do you know why? Crack, crack, crack. Because using too much cell phone. Walking, you know, bumping the head, crossing on the road, being hit by a car. So many young people have stomach problems. Why? They don't eat in the campus. They eat at night. They eat at 11, 12 o'clock. And after 3 years in college, you spoil your stomach. You eat too many junk food. You drink too many alcohol, too much alcohol. So physically, even your work for God, physically, you have to prepare. Sleep early. Rest well. Drink a lot of water. Eat bananas. Right? Even these few days, get your body, you know. Drink a lot of water if you're not fasting, right? Don't overeat after your fast. Some people fast with a meal and then overeat another one and then go to diarrhea. Wow. So even you want to work for God spiritually, you have to prepare physically. Exercise. Don't just play video game. Oh, Pastor, yes, I exercise FIFA football in a video game. No, those are not exercising, right? Do some real exercise outdoor. Prepare physically if you want. Have a good life and work for God. If you are indulging yourself physically or you are not motivated to keep your body, usually this kind of person is very hard to succeed in the world. Because in order to maintain your health, you need discipline. And that's why many Olympians or very professional athletes, they have very strong mindset. Because physically is related to mentally and also spiritually. So don't overlook the physical aspect. Right? Sleep early, rest well, eat healthy, exercise. Even you cross the river, you need food. You need a good body to receive and to work for God. And then number three, the preparation is prepare unity. Chapter 1, verse 12 to 13. Next person, please. Okay, so Joshua was talking to 2.5 tribes, Manasseh, Gad, and also Reuben. These 2.5 tribes, they were given land before, a while before, because they think that, oh, we don't want to cross the Jordan River. Look at this map. They say that we don't want to cross the Jordan River. We want to, the east of Jordan is pretty good, so we want to stay there. Moses said at the time, okay, it is fine if you want the land in the east of Jordan, but you have to promise, when your brothers cross the river to go for a military campaign, you, all the men, you must go with them. You cannot just sit and enjoy and relax and watch TV there, right? You have to fight with them, even though not fighting for your own land, but you have to fight with them together. So Joshua remembered that, and now Joshua was telling the people, you guys, the 2.5 tribes, must go with us together. That is called unity. We can only succeed if we fight as one man, fight as one family, fight as one church spiritually. If they don't go, the whole group is not united, then they will not succeed. So Joshua was given wisdom by God. If you want to succeed, we have to do it together. You promised Moses. They said, yes, we did. We did promise Moses, and we will go. That is called unity. That's related to a leader. Some of you will be leaders in the future, spiritual leaders. Or you lead your own family. A good leader is to bring people together for the same goal. Write it down. A good leader is motivate and bring people together. not to segregate people. A worse leader is to segregate, to divide people. You look at some politician, how they work in a society is, you know, they want to please their own base and divide the country. You know, nowadays, every day you watch the news, you see that politician do that, divide. But a real selfless leader is bring the people together, work toward one goal. Spiritual leader. So in the future, when you serve in the church, make sure we don't divide people because of our own ambitions. We bring people together to serve God. Number four, to prepare for them to fully submission. Fully submission. Chapter 1, verse 18. Next. Joshua told them, and then they respond, that we'll listen to you, whatever you say, just like we listen to Moses. And if anybody doesn't listen to you, we'll put him to death. Be strong. You know, God used these people to encourage Joshua too, right? So in order for have a successful military campaign, everybody must submit and obey orders. Because in America or Canada, we don't have conscription, right? But in Taiwan and some other country, young people have to serve sometime in the army, like Korea, Taiwan. So the brothers there usually are stronger, more disciplined. When you go to the army, the first day, what do they do? Shave your hair. Everybody have the same hairstyle, right? You remove your own garment, put on a uniform. Everybody look the same. They shout at you, and they teach you one thing. Order is order. No question. No argue. No doubting. If your superior give you order, you must carry it out. Even tell you to go to die. You go to the front, and you know you'll be die. The bullet will be waiting for you, shoot you. You have to go. This is called military obedience. An army can only run if soldiers obey orders to the superiors. No room for discussion, no room for doubting. So because they know that they are going for a military campaign, so if God gave, they all recognize that God gave authority to Joshua and everybody have to listen. Just like they listened to Moses. And today, young people, we have to learn about this. Yes, you may be more educated than your seniors. Yeah, you have a lot of good ideas. But remember, working in the church, serving God is about obedience. And if the church decides something, even against your own opinion, it's not what you like. Sometimes you see problems, but you still have to learn to obey and respect and wait for God's time. Don't just say, oh, I don't like the idea, and then I go online, you know. I go online to write this and that to attack the church or to voice out your negative opinion. Have you seen people done that before? Have you seen people done that? Have you seen your friends or peers, they are not happy with something in the church, they go on the internet to write something against their own church. Have you seen anything like this? Raise your hand before. Yeah, this is a very negative example. Yes, you have opinion, you can talk. But even though they don't listen to you, you still obey. Because we are fighting a spiritual army together. You cannot attack yourself. Right? So the soldier, they learn, okay, we must listen to the orders. And then they can get themselves ready for the battle. And of course, number five, they have to prepare intelligence. Tomorrow we will talk about that a little bit more. They have to gather intelligence in order to win the battle. They want to know more about the enemies. Okay, let's pray in silence to conclude tonight's class.